Good morning. The scripture this morning is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with him anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Our God is the God who appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai and revealed God's self to Elijah in the sound of sheer silence. This is the same God in our midst today. This is the same God who seeks us, who created us, who loves us. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts and minds that we might hear your message for us today. Amen. I don't know what it is about mountains, but every time I encounter some, I'm in awe. And maybe it's because I grew up in a place that didn't have any mountains. Sure, we had a lake. I mean, I guess it's a big lake. You could even call it a great lake. And that was cool and all. But you couldn't see it all the time. The first time I encountered a real mountain was as a leader on a youth mission trip to Pikes Peak, Colorado. And we slept in a high school gymnasium. Don't be jealous. We had our meals in the high school cafeteria. And this cafeteria, I don't know, my high school was nothing like this. This cafeteria was huge, and it had these one whole wall was just ceiling to floor windows, and it was looking out on the Rockies. And I remember getting breakfast that first morning and sitting in the cafeteria, and I could barely eat because I was just slack-jawed by looking at these mountains. So when I was moving to Albuquerque, one of the things that I was really looking forward to were the mountains. They're nothing like the Rockies. There's this one mountain range to the east of the city called the Sandias, and they're nowhere, like I said, nowhere near as big and towering. They're also much younger than the Rockies. But it was certainly a far cry from the rolling flatness of Rockford, Illinois. Now, they're named the Sandias because the light from the setting sun in the west hits the mountain in just such a way that it makes the pink granite glow. And it looks like a watermelon. And in Spanish, Sandia means watermelon. They're the watermelon mountains. And the first time that I saw the mountain at sunset, it took my breath away. I remember distinctly the awe that I felt at the majesty of this massive mountain and the bright colors shining against the dusty landscape and the vast sky. And I remember thinking, worrying that over time I would grow accustomed to this mountain and that I might start taking it for granted, that I might just come to see it as a big rock in the middle of my way. And I wondered how I could keep that same feeling of amazement and wonder as the first time that the beauty of this mountain made me well up with tears. And so that's kind of what I thought about when I read today's scripture. We're talking about the transfiguration of our Lord. And right before this passage, Jesus was preaching and teaching stuff along the shores of Galilee. Think like Sermon on the Mount type stuff. He's also been healing people. And what Jesus is doing is grabbing people's attention. They see God in Jesus' actions. But they're still not entirely sure who he is or how he's able to do the things that he's doing. Some of the religious leaders are like, pushing back on him. Jesus is offering a message that's more open than the one that they've been giving. And Jesus at that time also asked the disciples who they say he is. And after they rightly claim Jesus to be the Messiah, Jesus tells them that he must undergo suffering, rejection, death. Peter's not a fan. So today we find Jesus, Peter, and James, and John. They're going on a little hike. They stop for a little snack partway up the mountain. John brought the real good trail mix, the one with M&Ms in it. And then seemingly out of nowhere, Moses and Elijah are there. And Jesus' costume has changed. His clothes are suddenly almost blindingly white. There's a beam of light shining down upon him. This isn't some sleight of hand costume change or someone shining a spotlight down. Jesus is transfigured in that moment. He's metamorphosized. He's in these dazzling white clothes, but that's not the real thing that's different about him. Jesus is a whole new being. What are Peter, James, and John supposed to do with this experience? Their jaws are on the ground. Their eyes are like saucers. They are overwhelmed with awe. Almost, they're terrified even. Peter gets real uncomfortable with the silence, and he feels like there has to be something that he should say or do for this momentous occasion, and he just blurts out, "This is amazing! Let's build some tents!" Now, Peter gets a lot of flack for his offer to build tents for Jesus. Peter gets a lot of flack for a lot of things that Peter does. I identify with Peter very much so, because I'm constantly doing really dumb things. But Peter wants to build a tent for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And some say that Peter was trying to make this place a pilgrimage site or a theme park, maybe even charge visitors a few shekels as they pay homage to this very special site. But I think I understand what Peter was doing here. Something almost magical is happening in this place. He is filled with all of the emotions. Amazement, fear, surprise, wonder, terror, joy, all of these things, all at the same time. The picture I have here is a picture from the top of the Sandia Mountains. there was at one point when I was living in Albuquerque that I started hiking, and at first it was just the foothills. I just wanted to be really, really close to this towering mass that just brought me so many emotions. Even when I was on a trail that I had been on 100 times, there was always something new to look at. There was always something new to experience. One day, I took the plunge, and I decided I was going to hike up the La Luz Trail. So this is a very challenging hike. Some people are incredibly insane, and they run up this 11-kilometer hill mountain. It's a challenging hike. It's really important to be very well prepared. You got approximately 5 miles of switchbacks going back and forth up the mountains to the peak. There's, in the first half at any rate, there's very little shade. It's really important to leave early in the morning. You have to make sure that you have enough water, sunscreen, snacks. And I swear that the closer you get to the top, the steeper it gets. And there were many times during that hike that I questioned my sanity. When I got to the top of the ridge, though, that view was gorgeous. I felt all of the emotions. I had pride in having made it, exhaustion, amazement, fear, wonder, surprise, terror, joy, all of those things at the same time. And I wanted to revel in the silence and the glory, but I also felt the need to say or do something to commemorate that moment. And at the time, I couldn't imagine going back to my regular life after that. Not after interacting so personally with this beloved mountain in a whole new way. Not after recognizing the majesty of God in my encounter with this mountain. Not after gaining a whole new perspective. I really wanted to capture that moment and take it with me everywhere. Let's build some tents! I imagine Peter was pretty stressed before taking this little hiking trip. He's been all over the place with his pal, the Messiah. And everywhere they go, somebody's hassling them. And then they're on this beautiful, peaceful, blissful, albeit kind of scary moment on the mountain. Of course, Peter wants to remember this place. It's where he met God. And it's really hard to leave the mountaintop. Yet, God instructs Peter and us to listen to Christ. It was only a chapter earlier that Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." We're supposed to go out into the world after those mountaintop experiences. Those mountaintop experiences can't last forever. Now, your mountaintop experience may not be quite as on the nose and literal as my mountaintop moment. But I know that you've all been confronted with the vastness and the vision of God at some point. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't. Maybe it was the birth of your child, or the first time you held your grandchild, or while gazing into a campfire, when you finally understood that complex mathematical formula, the first time you read that poem, Not all revelations are witnessing Jesus transfigure into splendor with dazzling white clothes right in front of you. Rather, God's gifts are offered to us everywhere. God's gifts are unpredictable and abundant. And when we receive God's gifts, we can't help but to want to build a tent and to hold them all for ourselves. But God's gifts aren't for individuals. Rather, we are invited to return back to our lives, to come back down to the mountain and share what we've experienced and learned with everyone else in our communities. And thankfully, we have two members of our congregation today who have come down from the mountain and are ready to share their gifts of service with us. Thanks be to God.